When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Tuesday morning. And the good news, Phil Devitt, is you made it. You made it to Tuesday. So Ariel Dorsey comes back from vacation today. You won't have to work, 18-hour days anymore, whatever you've been working here. You know what's bad? I've been leaving before you, and that never happens.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. So you'll hopefully get a respite today.
We're glad to have Ariel back.
Although you had a little time this weekend. Did you get some relaxation in this weekend?
I did. I fled north to New Hampshire and did a little hiking on Sunday, and my body is still paying the price this sunny morning.
Whereabouts did you hike? Any particular area?
The North Conway area, so sort of on the main border. I've done this trail before. It's called Arethusa Falls. Mm-hmm. So it's supposed to be, I think, the highest waterfall in New England. So it's an arduous journey up, but it's well worth the view once you get there.
Oh.
So gorgeous.
Well, I hope you took some photos and are going to write an article about it.
Yeah, I could probably do that.
Yeah.
Put something up.
I think that'd be fun.
Sure. Why not?
And then I can live vicariously through you instead of having to go all the way up there and go through it myself.
I'll drag you with me next time.
I actually am getting into more of, the hiking stuff. I haven't gone up yet, though. I'm keeping it flat so far.
Nothing wrong with that.
We'll see how I get. Yeah, on Saturday, I ran to go to the ATM real quick while we were at our paranormal investigation. And I was like, oh, this is so great. I'm just going to walk. I walk everywhere now. I walk.
Yeah.
And then it was going uphill coming back. And I was like, I'm an idiot. I should have just asked somebody to give me a ride.
That's the problem. It's like, if you're walking downhill, you say, oh, this is pretty easy. But you're going to have to turn around eventually.
Which I guess, when you're hiking in elevated areas, the good news is you're starting by going up.
That's true.
So then it's easier because you're going to come down.
For the most part, although it can be pretty steep going down as well. So you've just got to watch every single step.
Any particular heights that you've gone to or that you'd like to go to?
So last year I got to go to Italy, and that was, I punished myself. It was a hiking trip. So I was on the Amalfi Coast, which I'd never been to Italy, period, before. Those were some breathtaking views because you've just got these giant mountains overlooking the ocean and beautiful flowers and plants, and it was just like heaven on earth. So,
you know my friend Jeff Belanger.
Yeah.
He did Mount Kilimanjaro. He did it as a fundraiser for cancer research, and he wrote a book about it. I mean, it changed him that much.
Wow.
So it's not something I think I would ever do.
I probably wouldn't do that one either. That's not the one where the bodies are. That's Mount Everest, right? Where they kind of just leave people up there.
Yeah, I think that's Everest. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, maybe Kilimanjaro is doable then. But just getting outside and walking around. That's the point. You feel good. You can do it on a flat surface. You can do it on a mountain. Get outside.
I prefer the flat surface.
Yeah.
Even when I'm on the treadmill at the gym, I don't put any incline on it. So.
Well, we've got plenty of great trails here on the South Coast to kind of make that happen. Nice and easy.
That's what I like. Nice and easy.
That's it.
And of course, we always will tell you about those. You can check those out at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. I know Barry's written about some. I've actually written about some, believe it or not. I wrote an article about Borderland State Park out in Easton and Purgatory Chasm, so which is a great place to go, and I'm looking forward to going back there soon and seeing if I can actually get through it a little bit better than I did last time. Because last time I couldn't even like wedge my way through some of the spots.
You're going to surprise yourself how well you can do things now, I think.
Well, my goal is I'm doing the Podkawa 5K again with South Coast Health in October. So last year, you know, I walked it. Last year, I came in at 109 to walk a 5K. Part of that is because I was doing some social media videos for the WBSM Facebook page at the same time. This year, I'm not going to do any of that. I'm just going to focus on the walk. And because I've been going to the gym and doing a mile every day and all of that, I think I can improve that. I'd like to get it down to, you know, maybe 45 minutes.
That's awesome and doable.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I also have a hydration backpack now, which means I don't have to worry about, you know, carrying a water. And because I'm not coordinated, so I would like stop and take a drink and then keep walking. So with the backpack, you can just keep doing it. Keep walking.
When you see a guy with a hydration pack, you know he means business.
I usually think that person is, you know, like what we used to call all out in gym class. Like, whoa, slow down there, buddy. It's just a 5K. You don't need the hydration pack. But I bought it for Boston Calling, so I got to get my money's worth out of it.
That's it.
So
look out. Here comes Tim.
If you see me just walking around with a backpack sucking out of it, it's probably vodka. No, I'm kidding. 508-996-0500 if you want to get involved in the conversation. We were talking this morning about, a number of news stories that you heard Phil touch on there. We didn't even get to the bull, but we can get to the bull if you'd like to. But Naomi Carney suing the Bristol County Sheriff's Office and Sheriff Paul Heroux individually over discrimination, over the elimination of her position. Also, we have the story, the news that the city is continuing its appeal of having to pay the pension of former acting fire chief Paul Kader Jr. So that's on the table. There was another story, too, yesterday. There was a lot of news that came up yesterday. And with Ariel, you know, on vacation, I was cranking out some of those stories. And we had three people shot in New Bedford on Sunday. Two people that when the police arrived, and then a third person had taken themselves to the hospital. So we gave you what information we have on that, but hopefully there's more. And as I was talking yesterday about, you know, how there were, there've been a high level of crashes in recent weeks. You know, we get word of another one. Five people sent to local hospitals after a crash in Lakeville over the weekend. And then probably what I think is is a very tragic story. There was a man from Taunton who was working construction at the Emerson Majestic Theater. The Emerson Cutler Majestic Theater in Boston, which is the theater that's associated with Emerson College. And he fell from some construction platform scaffolding and passed away last Friday. A day after that, there was an incident where some of the facade collapsed in front of a vacant business in Downtown Crossing in Boston. A person received injuries that were not life-threatening in that. And then last month, if you remember, a window exploded from the Verizon building above TD Garden, shattered down to Causeway Street. But thankfully, no one was injured in that. So we've had a lot of these construction-style incidents over the last couple of months happening in Boston. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Yeah, good morning, Tim.
How are you?
I'd like to talk about the gun violence in our city and how it's on the rise. And I looked at the most current data of the FBI. New Bedford is 129%. The crime rate in New Bedford is 129% higher than the state average. And I'm still looking for the 2022 numbers because they put them out every 2 years. In 2019, incidents of violent crime was 628. In 2020, it jumped to 2,771. And in 2021... went up to 2,879. The people in our city, residents here in the city of New Bedford, are 1 in 33 chance of becoming the victim of a crime at any time.
That seems like, those 2020 numbers seem really odd considering the fact that, you know, people weren't going anywhere for most of that year.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen the number yet, but it's very troubling. And it's crickets from the mayor and crickets from the city council. You know, of a population of a little bit under 103,000. It's actually 102,882 is the population. And the national U.S. average, including cities and towns, is 395.7 per 100,000 as far as the crime. And in New Bedford, the total crime rate is 3,089 per 100,000.
And did you take a look at how New Bedford compares to some of the other cities in Massachusetts?
It's number three on the list, according to the FBI, of one of the most dangerous cities to live in. First, they had Holyoke. Number two, Springfield. Number three, North Adams. Actually, it's number four. And number four is New Bedford. And then it's Chicopee. And Boston is number six, believe it or not.
That seems
New
like...
New Bedford's more dangerous than Boston.
That seems like an odd list. North Adams is higher than New Bedford?
Yeah. Well, that's according to the FBI data. But then, like I said, they put it out every 2 years. And I haven't got the 2022 numbers yet.
And Holyoke and Springfield are pretty much the same place. I mean, they're right next door to each other.
Springfield is pretty bad.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, Holyoke is kind of spillover from Springfield, so.
Yeah, and they got Fall River at number eight. And
well, again, so, this is by population, so maybe
yeah,
the percentage.
3,000, the total crime rate, Tim, they got as three, the total crime rate, 3,089 per 100,000. That's what they have. In Boston, they have a population of 675,000 is the population, and their crime rate is 2,366 per 100,000. That's 74% higher than the state average. And New Bedford's 129% higher than the state average. Where are all of these city council and the mayor falling asleep at the switch? We're paying high taxes. We have to put up with this the high crime rate. And drive-by shootings in any time of the day where anybody can get, innocent person can be gunned down?
Well, fair questions.
All right, Tim. Thank you for the time.
You have a good day. 508-996-0500. You can call in and react to that if you'd like to. You can also send app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I'm just going to refresh the app chat real fast. Give me a second there. Whatever problems it was having yesterday is thankfully passed. I think that was an internet issue with my computer. So I've got it working now. I think I was on the wrong Wi-Fi network. And because that's all proprietary Town Square Media software and all that, it probably wasn't letting me access it. But I was like, wait a minute, what? Where is this Wi-Fi coming from? I don't know what this is. Because here in the WBSM studio, I have to block other Wi-Fis. I mean, not that I have to block them, but I do. I'm like, no, ignore that network, ignore that network, ignore that network. And it's set to always connect to our network, and I don't know where this other one came from and why I connected to it, but I fixed the problem. I know that none of you care, but I was proud of myself because I figured something out. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. I haven't followed the news here and there. I don't read the whole story. That scaffolding thing where that guy died, was he on it or walking under it or what?
No, he was on it. From what I understand, he was the one doing the work.
Oh, my gosh. I can only imagine. And sometimes when I'm out walking different places, I see things like that with the guys way up high. And it looks so... It doesn't look like it's sturdy to me. Of course, I don't know anything about it. But by looking at it,
I would never do it. I could never be that guy.
I don't know. I don't even know how the window cleaners do that. When they're way up high cleaning the windows, you see them in movies and everything.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it in real life. It gives me anxiety. I can't look.
Oh, no. It's just it does not look sturdy. I don't know if it's just me, but I would think anybody looking at that kind of a thing knows it just does. And sometimes you can see it swinging a little bit when they move. Oh, no.
I mean, the good thing is they strap themselves to it so that if it does go sideways, you know, they're still strapped to it. So then they can kind of right the ship and climb back on or somebody can pull them up. But I wouldn't want to go through that. I wouldn't want to experience that. Just no.
I mean, they must make a lot of money doing a job like that, risking, you know.
I would hope so, yeah.
But how, when they build these big, tall buildings and everything, that has to be done a certain way,
oh,
too.
I love to watch, like, American Experience on PBS, but... And, you know, some of those things like on History Channel, like, you know, how it was built and all that. But I see some of those old, you know, 1920s film reels when the guys are walking around on the beams at the top of the Empire State Building or whatever. I'm like, no, I can't even look at this, knowing that they're going to be okay,
no.
But I still can't look at it.
No. So about the shows on TV, we all know about Barbara Eden. She's the last living one at 92 from I Dream of Jeannie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
92 years old. And boy, she looks good. I've looked at pictures of her.
I've been at conventions that she's at. She looks that good in real life, too.
Yeah, and she's right up there with Carol Burnett. She's in her 90s, too, I believe. I think she's maybe a little older. I don't know. But now, for the original Star Trek, on the main group in the beginning there, there are still three that are going. But that Nichelle Nichols, she died recently in 2022, 89 years old.
Yeah, she was a really nice person. I got to meet her at one of the conventions.
Wow, you did?
And
nice.
And I had the chance to interview Walter Koenig, who played Chekhov.
Oh, I always liked him too.
I had him on my internet program, and just another really, really awesome guy. So is George Takei. Yeah. Got to meet him once at a convention. He was a super nice guy.
Yeah. Now that Walter Koenig there. You know, he had a show before that, Space 1999, and I watched it all the time. And that was only on for 2 years, from 1975 to 1977, the year my daughter was born. She didn't get to see any of it because she was just a baby. Because, you know, it played the whole year of 1977. But, I mean, she was an infant, so she never watched it. And that was a great show. If you haven't seen any of that, look that up. He's in it. He was young. Space 1999. I'm sure you heard of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah. Oh, what a great show that is.
I'll have to see if I can find my interview with him, and I'll send it to you.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Yeah. Yeah, so Shatner is still kicking.
He is.
Is he 90 yet?
He's in his 90s. I think he's 92 or 93.
Yeah. And then I think you did mention yourself on that, what's the name of that show? Damon Wilson there. He's 77 years old.
Yeah. So I was looking into that as, because Lamone was texting me and he's like, you know, Sanford and Son, there's only one cast member remaining, but they say that there's still cast members remaining because the guys who played the cops are still alive. But I don't really, I wouldn't really count them as regulars. The woman that Fred married, she's still alive. But I wouldn't count them as regulars. You know, to me, the regulars on that show were like, you know, Fred, Lamont, Grady, Esther.
Yeah, Grady especially. Yeah, he's gone.
You know, that'd be who I would say was like the regulars.
Mm. Well, we can't even talk about the Twilight Zone because there's no regulars. Every show was different. Almost every actor was in it. That was one of my favorite.
I've been tracing for years trying to get an interview with Ann Serling, the daughter of Rod Serling, but...
Yeah. Oh, you can't?
She doesn't seem to want to do it, but...
You must be up there in age yourself.
I've been trying to get William Castle's daughter as well. He's one of my favorite film directors of all time, so I've been trying to get her to come on, but no luck yet.
You bet. There are so many other shows, like Who's Still Alive from the Duke of Hazzard? Are all of them alive? Or?
Yep, Tom Wopat, John Schneider, Catherine Bach, they're all still alive. Sonny Schroeder, Ben Jones, who played Cooter. I think that's it.
And Route 66, I never missed an episode of that, too. It was, the stories were so interesting on them older TV shows. Today we have reality shows. You know what? When that changed over, it happened kind of quick, I think, because I noticed it. I said, we're having all these reality things. What happening? No more real sitcoms or anything? I don't know. It just changed over. And I remember feeling bad about it. Like the Kardashians. Haven't we had enough of that? I never really watched. My mother did. My mother was interested in watching their clothing, especially the mother. And
well, a lot of those.
You know, a lot of that stuff is made up.
A lot of the sitcoms and things like that, you know, they've kind of found new homes on streaming. But the reason why TV went the way that it did with reality TV is there was a writer's strike back in the early 2000s. And that caused a huge glut of reality shows because they didn't have writers to write the fictional shows. So there was a whole bunch of reality that came out, and they realized this is so much cheaper to produce. And we can, and it's not really reality, as you mentioned, you know, there's still controlled elements of it. Yeah. So they were like, why don't we just do more of this? And because people kept watching it, they kept making it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then they started to get famous, and you couldn't use that excuse anymore that it was cheaper, because now those stars are big stars and they want more money.
Ah, they still don't really make that much, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. Reality TV, like, you know, the people who are going to win a contest, like, say, it's, you know, they're paying for $1 million prize, that might be one thing. But for the most part, they're paying those people peanuts. I know in the paranormal reality TV game, the first show that I worked on, I made more money as the writer than the two cast members made on the show. And they had to travel all around the country. And they, you know, they had, one of them was a Hollywood actor and one of them was a, you know, 30-year paranormal researcher. And they're making less money than me. And I didn't make very much money at all. So it just shows how poorly they pay people in those situations.
Yeah. And the older shows were the best ones of the sitcoms. Do you remember One Day at a Time? You're so young. I don't think you saw any of them.
Of course I remember One Day at a Time. Schneider was my hero growing up.
Yeah. How about Nell? Remember Nell?
I don't, Nell Carter, Give Me a Break?
Yeah. Did you watch much of that?
I love that show.
Yeah, and then there's, what's those other, those three girls? I know the mother passed away, the one that paid mother. One of them was, her father was a famous singer, too. I think from the Mamas and the Papas.
Oh, yeah, Michelle Phillips.
You know. Oh, yeah, but there's another one, too.
Oh, yeah, the other one was Mackenzie Phillips. Yeah, she was on One Day at a Time.
Yeah, those shows were good. I enjoyed a lot of them. My kids were growing up, and we watched a lot of them together. They were shows that you could watch with your kids.
Yeah.
You know, if you watch a lot of the realities, the insinuations they're making, the eyes they make, you know what they're talking about. There's always something sexual in it all the time. But back in the day, I enjoyed watching things with my kids, all the wrestling shows.
Right. We need shows, more shows without sexual overtones, like Three's Company.
Yeah. Yeah, that was so good, that show. Poor John.
Yeah.
And now, you know, she's gone too, Suzanne. You know, she tried to stay young very hard. She was onto the hormone stuff and the enzymes, and I read all about her biography. You got to look at she was really something. And she did look good for a very, very long time. But look what happened. See, something has to get you. But she did try. I got to give her that. She did try.
All right, I got to hold you there. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
And I got to take a quick break, and then we'll give way to Phil with the news. We'll be back very quickly. All right, it is now time to turn things over to Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
Donald Trump and Elon Musk have a long chat on X, a warning for protesters visiting the Democratic National Convention, and cigarettes have never been less popular.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Despite some technical issues, Elon Musk's conversation with former President Trump on X went on for over 2 hours on Monday.
Like, we're having a great conversation right now. Kamala wouldn't have this conversation. She can't because she's not smart.
No.
You know, she's not a smart person, by the way.
Supposed to start at 8 p.m., the conversation didn't take place for about another hour due to what Musk claimed was a, quote, distributed denial of service attack on the platform. Following the hiccup, the two discussed things such as the attempted assassination of Trump in Pennsylvania, immigration, Russian President Vladimir Putin, and the threat of global warming. At one point in the discussion, over 1.3 million people were listening live. Organizers for next week's Democratic National Convention in Chicago hope it doesn't bring back memories of the 1968 convention in the Windy City. Pro-Palestinian organizations anticipate several thousand protesters to come to Chicago for the march on the DNC over the Biden administration's handling of the Israel-Hamas conflict. At the 1968 Democratic National Convention, riots broke out in Chicago as demonstrators protested against U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War. Chicago's top cop warning those planning to protest.
We're not going to allow you to riot.
Protesting and rioting are two different things.
Larry Snelling stressed that his department will be ready for whatever happens. The DNC runs August 19th through the 22nd. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has 3 days to appeal a New York judge's ruling that keeps the independent presidential candidate off the state's ballots this fall. The judge ruled that Kennedy used a sham New York address on state election forms to maintain state residency. The address is actually owned by a friend of RFK Jr. The Oklahoma Supreme Court is ruling that an online religious school isn't legal. The court terminated the Oklahoma Charter School Board's contract with St. Isidore of Seville Catholic Virtual School. If the contract had been upheld, St. Isidore would have become the nation's first public religious school. Team USA skateboarder Nyjah Houston won his bronze medal in the street skateboarding finals in Paris, but now says just over 2 weeks later, the medal is tarnished and chipping. Tammy Trujillo with a story.
Houston showed his medal on his Instagram story and says it looked great when he got it, but after wearing it nonstop, getting it sweaty, and then letting his friends wear it as well, it looks like it's been through a war. A spokesperson for the Paris Olympics says they're working with the company that produced the medals to understand what happened and that any athletes who report a problem with their medals will be given replacements. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
And no buts about it, cigarette smoking is at record lows in the U.S., Rory O'Neill reports.
Only 11% of Americans admit to lighting up a cigarette in the past week. That matches the historic low in 80 years of polling by Gallup. When first asking the question in 1944, 41% of American adults said they smoked. The big drop-off has been measured among young adults. Under 30, only 6% of them smoke, but 18% use e-cigarettes. I'm Rory O'Neill.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox snapped their losing streak following a 5-4 walk-off win in extras from Fenway Park. Another game with the Texas Rangers tonight. They'll do it without outfielder Jarren Duran, who's suspended for 2 games after shouting a gay slur at a heckling fan on Sunday. Preseason continues for the Patriots on Thursday. They play the Philadelphia Eagles at Gillette.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Absolutely gorgeous, low humidity, plenty of sunshine this morning, and temperatures on the cooler side around 60. Sunny and upper 70s as we head into the afternoon, low 60s, mostly clear skies overnight. Sunny and beautiful once again for tomorrow around 80. On Thursday, clouds increase as the day progresses. At late afternoon, potential for a round of showers and a thunderstorm or two cannot be ruled out. Be sure to watch ABC 6 for my full 7-day forecast. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Back in 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And that song, Hold On, I'm Coming, was written by the great Isaac Hayes. Isaac Hayes, who before he became, you know, a front and center performer himself, was working behind the scenes at Stax Records. Great documentary on HBO Max about Stax, if you haven't seen it yet. And the family of Isaac Hayes has reached out to, well, has, you know, made a statement on Twitter toward the Trump campaign, threatening them with legal action if Donald Trump continues to use that song at rallies, which he did at a Bozeman, Montana rally back on August 10th. The family is alleging copyright infringement, demanding $3 million in licensing fees for Trump's use of the song between 2022 and 2024, and states that if there is no resolution, it will sue Trump for damages of 150,
$150,000 per use of the song. And I think it's 134 counts that they've counted of him using that song. And this is a continuing theme with the Trump campaign of where they use these songs even after artists have asked them to stop utilizing them, and they're not paying the royalties. They're not paying the licensing fees to be able to use these songs. You actually have to pay to use a song at a political rally. It's considered a public performance. And so when you go to a Red Sox game or a Patriots game, and they're playing, you know, at the Red Sox game, everybody has their walk-up music. When you're at Gillette Stadium and they play songs between plays, all of that is paid for. It's all licensed. If you play music on a radio station, that's paid for. That's licensed. If you have a jukebox in a business, you pay for that. There's a license involved. You're supposed to. Not everybody that has a jukebox pays a license, but you're supposed to. If you're a band and you perform covers, you're supposed to pay for that. Even the guy who plays the organ at the, I'm assuming, I don't know who it is, but you know, whoever it is that plays the organ now at the Red Sox games, and they play popular songs on the organ, they have to pay for that. Even though it's not the original recording, they have to pay for it to the songwriter. And if you have a political rally, you're supposed to pay for that. Now, a lot of times artists, if it's a candidate that they support, the artist, the songwriter, whoever holds the credit on the song, the copyright on the song, they'll waive it. But in the case of the Trump campaign, a lot of them have asked them to stop using their songs, and they still do it anyway. There's an entire Wikipedia page dedicated to the nearly three dozen, 35 artists that have asked Trump to stop using their music. Literally everybody from Adele to Yoan Lemoyne. I don't know who that is. It's a French singer-songwriter who performs under the stage name Woodkid. But some of the other acts, the White Stripes, using Seven Nation Army. The Village People. Now, Trump famously used YMCA at rallies. They sent a cease and desist. He continued using it. Twisted Sister allowed Trump to use We're Not Going to Take It in 2014. But then in 2015, because of his positions, rescinded that permission. Tom Petty, Sinead O'Connor, the Rolling Stones, which made a lot of headlines because he used to use You Can't Always Get What You Want. One of the weirdest ones was this past week when there was a situation where his plane got diverted. And while everybody was waiting for him to show up at the Bozeman rally, on the big screen, they played the video, the music video for Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On. The song from Titanic. And they issued a statement following that in which they said that, you know, Celine does not endorse the use of that. And they ended it in a pretty savage way. They said, and really? That song? The song that's famously connected to a sinking ship? You're going to use it at your campaign rally? But, you know, Bruce Springsteen, Adele, Aerosmith, Creedence Clearwater Revival, Earth, Wind & Fire, Eddie Grant, Everlast, Free, Guns N' Roses, Linkin Park, Neil Young, Nickelback, Ozzy Osbourne, well, that was a pretty famous case too, Phil Collins, Prince, Queen. And in almost every one of these cases, you see cease and desist letters were sent, and they're still used anyway. And some have threatened legal action, but I think the estate of Isaac Hayes, the family of Isaac Hayes, might take it further than anybody has. I think one of the classiest statements on it was Elton John, who said it. While I don't agree with Donald Trump's politics at all, it's not anything personal. It's just that I'm a British musician, and I don't think that my music has any place in American politics, which I thought was a pretty sound reasoning. And I may be wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure that even if they paid licensing fees for these songs, which they don't, I believe the artist, because it's a political usage, would have the right to refuse them still being able to utilize that. But I might be wrong. So I think now, the Isaac Hayes family might push this a little further than anybody has. And people were attacking Isaac Hayes III on Twitter for this, saying, your family is just greedy, just trying to get money. And I think the common response to that is, how can you say they're greedy and just trying to get money when you know that Donald Trump's not going to pay the money if he's found guilty of this? If a lawsuit rules in the favor of Isaac Hayes' family, he's not going to pay it. So it's more about the principle. And I don't get it, man. There's a 100 artists, I'm sure, that would write songs for Donald Trump or that support Donald Trump and that would be okay with using their music. Obviously, Lee Greenwood has no issue. And I'm sure there's many other artists that wouldn't. Ted Nugent, Kid Rock. Either have them create something for you or, just use their music. Why get into this? I mean, I get it. Political campaigns want to have a theme song and they want to have something that's recognizable to people. But I just don't know why I guess it's when you go through life thinking the rules don't apply to you. This is what you do. 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break. We will be right back. Welcome back in. You got to have some sweet in the morning, right? Oh, man. Got to have sweet every day. So I want to tell you about something that's coming up on Thursday. It is the annual fundraiser for YMCA South Coast. It is the Harbor Cruise. And this is a fantastic event. You set sail from State Pier in New Bedford, and you take a 2-hour beautiful sunset cruise through New Bedford Harbor aboard the Cuddy Hunk Ferry. Now, the money raised from this will ensure that your neighbors, friends, and families all have access to YMCA memberships and programs regardless of their financial circumstances. So when you go and you get your tickets, you'll be able to help other people while enjoying a beautiful sunset cruise. Boarding will begin about approximately half an hour before departure. It starts at 6 p.m., so you'll start boarding at about 5:30. It departs from the right of State Pier when facing the water. And because there's limited parking on site, you can park at the YMCA in downtown New Bedford and walk down. And there will be a beer and wine cash bar and light hors d'oeuvres are served. So you can get your tickets right now at ymcasouthcoast.org. Head over there now and get your tickets for the Harbor Cruise happening this Thursday evening. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim. No, I'm good. Thank you, Doug. Traffic's being diverted from Ashley Boulevard and Cogswell Street. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 fire trucks and multiple police and ambulance. So I don't know what the issue is, but it appears to be Cogswell and Ashley Boulevard.
All right. Thank you for the info.
About 20 minutes now.
All right. We'll see what we can find out. Thank you.
Okay.
Have a good day. And I got to take one final break here before we run out of time this hour. So I'm going to do that. We will be right back. Come on, man. You know, you can't hear that song and not do some drumming on the table or on the steering wheel or wherever you may be. So if, you know, if you're sitting next to somebody else or still laying in bed with somebody else and you started drumming on them, hey, person, I'm sorry. Can't help it. You got to do it when Sniffing the Tears come on. Speaking of Sniffing the Tears, it makes me think of the old WBCN days. And just the other day, we lost Bill Abbott. He passed away at a very young age. I believe he was 61. So a lot of you might know him from the Patriots pregame show. He hosted that for many years with Pete Brock. But he was tied into BCN for a long time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.